Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you will be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor Terrell begins a new series entitled Satan's Infiltration of Christian Churches. Just back from a two-week sabbatical, Pastor John shares in this first message how he recently did some soul-searching, wondering how God moved upon Christians to send in the $28,000 needed for the webcast upgrade. But the ministry was struggling just to pay rent. God responded to his prayers during the second week and showed him a devastating picture. Every move of God on earth, with one exception, has been infiltrated by the devil. The only move which the devil could not defeat was the mission of Jesus to be born, live, minister, die for our sins, and be resurrected on the third day. Pastor John lays the foundation for understanding the destructive work of Satan and why God allows him to do it. This is one message to which you can't be indifferent. There is no neutral ground. You are either victorious or slowly being defeated without knowing it. This message is entitled Part 1, Satan's Legal Right. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor Terrell as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, October 5th, 2008. And I'm going to deviate today. I'm not going to be speaking on back to the book of Acts. We're going to have probably about two Sundays, maybe three, that I'll be speaking on something God has given me when we had our rest. And today, I'm going to be speaking on Satan's legal rights. Let's stand and pray and thank God. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for these two testimonies we had here from Joanne and from Ken. We thank you, Lord, that you healed both of them, Father God. And we love you for that. And now, Father God, I pray you would be with me as I share this message that you laid upon my heart. Father, it's going to be a difficult message, but help me to get through it and present it in such a way that we shall understand and be able to be more victorious than what we have been. And this I ask in Jesus' name. And those who agreed said, Amen. You may be seated. I want to read to you from my outline. I became a pastor in 1975, and since that time I have served in three different churches: Lodi Christian Life Center, Christian Life Ministries here in Carmichael, and my current pastorate, Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, now also in Carmichael. My wife and I soon discovered that it was hard to be a pastor and an evangelist. As the church had setbacks from time to time, we would call for extra prayer meetings, examine ourselves, and lament with the following statements: God, what are we doing wrong? I remember many times when we had financial problems, church splits, all kind of difficulties, and we would always say, what are we doing wrong? What can we do better? Have you had more prayer meetings, more fasting? We tried to do all kind of different things, but we were never fully successful. We asked this question, show us our sins so we can repent. And I was beating myself up. Why is a church always torn up the moment the membership reaches more than 50 people? This has been a pattern in our lives as ministers. Over the years, I would beat myself up and be in constant turmoil. I preached salvation, holiness, water baptism, the Holy Ghost baptism, the second coming of Christ. In other words, I've been preaching the same way that was done in the book of Acts. After 33 years as a pastor, God showed me the truth in this matter, and my questions have finally been answered. When we left here 2 weeks ago, I was an angry man. I try not to say anything to anyone, but the last Sunday I was here, I basically just wanted to get out of church, didn't want to talk to anyone, didn't want to see anyone, just wanted to get away because I was upset with God and everything else. I said, now God, here we are with nothing but trouble, resistance, bickerings, all kind of different things happening among the people and so on. And I said, you know, I am tired of this, Lord. And so I want to show you that many times God tries to tell you something years ago, but you're not ready to listen. I had purchased a book probably 25 years ago in Sweden. And it was a story of the Pentecostal revival in Sweden beginning in 1903. And I read it. Matter of fact, I marked it up. And what I was going through, and not, you got to remember when I was angry and upset that I was just going through here and just saying, I'm going to take some thing to read. For some reason, that book stood out, and I picked it up, and I threw it in. I said, well, I don't know what good this is, but I'm going to read it. So I decided to read. I could only read maybe about 15, 20 pages per day. It's a very hard book to read. There's a lot of facts and so on. And then as I read that book, God began to speak to me and say, here is your problem. Those of you that know about the Swedish Pentecostal Church, you know the word was actually the person Levi Petrus. And he's the one that built it up. And over the years, there was a lot of good stuff said about him and so on. But as I went through this book, I found out that Levi Petrus was not the saint that we have been told he was. There was not unity in the Pentecostal churches. Now, he was a very anointed man, very anointed, miracles and so on. Nothing wrong with him morally, but he was power hungry. There were fights in fights. And then God simply showed me this. I started the work, but I could not finish the work because the sins of the people. Let me go back and read to you now. The moment the church is formed and the Holy Ghost is moving, saving people and filling them with the power of God, Satan will send in demonic forces to destroy the church from within and make sure that the move of God is stopped. This applies to a church. This applies to you as an individual. Now, before you get angry and walk away, let's do a brief journey through time and use the Bible as a tour guide. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. That's Genesis, the first chapter, and verse number 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle of all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which it's the fruit of tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, every fowl of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth, wherein there is life, I give in every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And God saw that everything he made, and behold, it was very good. Guess who showed up a little bit later in a beautiful garden? The devil. It didn't take long for him to wreck the relationship between man and God and have Adam and Eve forced to leave the garden. What God showed me here is simply this. You and I are going to be challenged every inch of the way in our lives on this earth. There's not going to be a moment that we can say, praise God, the devil is gone, the demons are not here, we are in paradise. That does not exist on this planet. We are constantly in a hostile environment. And in this hostile environment, Satan has one plan, and that is to destroy you and simply wipe you off the map. I saw in the papers, actually, I read it online, that there was a beautiful young lady, probably about 30, 35 years old, in Korea. And she was their most revered movie star. Well-known, money, fame, and fortune. And she had a failed marriage. I want you to notice, when you get married, you might have a honeymoon for a day or two. Some people don't even have that. Or you might have it for a little while, but there will be visitors there trying to wreck your marriage. And she had gone through a divorce. She had two children. And this last week, she simply called up a couple of her friends, two friends, and said, I'm sorry, I apologize. And then she went to the bathroom, got a rope, hung herself, and she died right there. Famous, lots of money, but she could not cope with life anymore because life was not good. Life without Christ is horrible. Life with Christ, you still have to fight. We got to learn that. Let's read now from Genesis 3, 22 and 24. As Genesis, we go from verse number 22. And the Lord said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth to the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and the flaming sword will turn every way to keep the way of the tree of life. I'm going to say this in advance to you. And I have had some deep prayer talk with the Lord. And this might come as a shock to you. But this is what I want to bring out because it will. We have to move in a different direction when it comes to spiritual warfare. Every project that God started on this earth has failed, except one, when Jesus died for our sins. It was God's plan for Adam and Eve to reject the temptation of Satan. At that time, this is my personal standing there. At that time, if that would have taken place, God would have said, Satan, you're done. Lake of fire, demons, fallen angels, lake of fire. We would have had a perpetual paradise. That was God's perfect plan. Didn't happen. As we're going to go through, we're going to find out that God had a plan for Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel. It was God's plan for Israel to walk in obedience, to stay in the land, and to be there in power to welcome the Messiah. It was not God's plan for the kingdom to split. It was not God's plan for the 10 northern tribes to get to captivity. It was not God's plan for the 2 southern tribes to go to Babylon to captivity. This was not God's plan. But God's plan for Israel failed. Not because of God, but because of man. We're going to look upon the church. Now I understand what Jesus said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The church has survived, but it constantly has to be reborn, and it's only good for a short time until it is corrupted. And I believe, as we're going to study for the next 2-3 Sundays, that we can reverse this. We don't have to be corrupted if we have understanding and we know how to pray and to how to live and walk with the Lord. Most of you, or some of you, have, I would say the better part of you, have gone through deliverance. And I thought about deliverances. And you know, when we take somebody through deliverance, you are squeaky clean. So to say, you know, we give up a lot of different things that are not good and that should not be there. But this is what I've seen after 20 years of deliverance. I see this. The person that was clean slowly, slowly creeps back into the old cesspool. And picking up habits, a little bit here, a little bit there, slowly going backwards. It is hard to be delivered. It is harder to keep your deliverance. And the reason for that is that Satan is there and is using particularly offense. You are offended. And then, when we are offended, we have a leeway in, there's an open door, the demons come in, and before we know it, we are saying, well, you know, this is the way it is. Let's talk about the flood now. Turn to Genesis chapter 6. Once the devil and his fallen angels took control of a man, they made the earth such a hellhole that God had to kill off all living things on the surface and start over with just 8 people. Genesis chapter 6, and we read the first 13 verses. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, but he is also flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, Nephilims, fallen ones. And also to that, when the sons of God came to the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man who I created for the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping thing and the fowls of the air. For it repents me that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I want you to go back to verse number 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This week, a young lady was arrested, and she now sits in the county jail in Sacramento. She's about 30, 35 years old. She's a mother. And this week, they say she's schizophrenic, demonized. She took a little baby girl, went to the bathtub, pushed the little baby girl under until there was no life in the baby girl, picked her up and laid her out on the couch, called 911 and said, I just drowned my baby daughter. Well, God was good. The crew got there fast. They were able to revive the girl. She's in critical, but she will survive. And our mom sits in county jail. What would force a mother to do such a thing? But you know, when you see women give birth to their children, they become very protective, loving, kind. I mean, they hover over them. You don't mess with a mother and a child. What would cause a woman to do that to her child? And the answer is evil spirits. If you look upon your television, the ingredients in all the so-called entertainment is murder, violence, sex, prostitution, drugs, lying, cheating, mix it up. This is what the television spews out every day. I read again to you. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You got script writers sitting in Hollywood, other places, and all they do is to churn out evil, evil, evil every day. And then you have prostitutes, and they call them actors, coming in and portraying this. They take pictures of it and they send it out. And then you wonder, why is this nation hurting? Why are marriages hurting? Why do we have all this pain? Evil spirits. Let's move on. Now, God simply wiped out everything on the earth. And you would think it will be better. Turn to Genesis chapter 11. That's Genesis, the 11th chapter. And I'll read that to you for my outline. The wicked people living prior to the flood were gone. And the earth was repopulated by Noah, his three sons and their wives. As the years went by, the people started to multiply in large numbers. And the devil showed up again. God had to intervene again in order to destroy the plans of the devil. Let's read. And the whole earth was one language, one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they have brick for stone and slime it for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one. They've all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down and there confound the language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. You would think that Noah, the three sons and their wives, would have told their children, this is what happened before the flood. But you see, here is something strange happening. We lose every generation. There is something built in man that makes every child to rebel. This happened in my life. I'm sure that every one of you, unless you're a liar, if I would ask you here today, you would simply say, yes, I rebelled against my parents. I rebelled against this. I was a rebellious child. This is natural. It is not natural, but it is because of sin. And we despised our parents. We simply thought, well, you know, old man doesn't know anything. He's just foggy, you know, old stone age. We, the youth, got all the answers. We know everything. And then as we grew older, we recognized that the old man and mom, they were pretty smart after all. They had a lot of answers. And the older we get, the smarter mom and dad gets. And then when we have our own children, we recognize it's starting all over again. Why is it? Well, let me ask you this question here, and I've talked to you to the dog lovers. If you get a puppy and you simply do not train the puppy at all, you just let the puppy do whatever he wants to do, he's going to be a terrible dog. He's going to be all over your place. He's going to, whenever he feels, go to the bathroom. He's going to go to the bathroom. He's going to chew on everything. And when you tell him, do something, come here, the dog is going to look at you and says, what? So you've seen dogs like that. Then you've seen other dogs, well-trained, behaving, and you talk to them. They can do a lot of different things. And you ask a question now, what's the difference between dog A that is absolutely, totally impossible, and dog B that is a very well-behaved dog? What's the difference? Get this. Time invested in training. It's a time that you invest in training. When we have children, we got to learn this, that we have to invest time in a child, or that child will be like that dog I just told you about with absolutely no manners whatsoever. Why don't we do that? Well, you see, we're busy when we are young. Just got married, we got to work hard, long hours. By the time we come home, we don't have time to deal with that. And so on. It's much easier to turn on the television and sit the child down, boom, in front of the television, age six, you know, and just let him be taking care of that thing. So when you meet your son or your daughter later on, and you say, now what went wrong? It's a time we did not invest. And this is exactly what we need to do in a church. We got to take time and invest in ourselves and training and understand where we are. Turn to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew the 23rd chapter. Now, I usually pick on Thomas. He always had good stuff to talk about. So let me talk about Soteris today. Soteris is not a businessman we have in the church. Now, Soteris would like to sell cheese. He would like to sell fish. But to sell cheese and fish, you got to have it refrigerated. You cannot just take it and throw it in a trunk and drive for a couple hours without refrigeration. You can't sell it. It's spoiled. It's no good. You got to have the right tools. And this is what what God showed me. He simply said, John, you have been doing certain things, but you have not understood what needs to be done, and you have allowed the demons free reign. And this is what we have done in our lives. We simply have allowed the demons to jump around. We got used to them instead of taking them and squeezing them and choking them and sending them to prison. We didn't do that. Let me read to you now what I wrote. Looking through the Old Testament. From Abraham to King David, there was never a time when God's people were not confronted by the devil. During the time of the judges, Israel fell repeatedly into the clutches of the devil with their idol worship. During the time of the kings of Israel and Judah, the leaders and the people were constantly harassed by the devil and frequently were deceived and received great punishment from God. The culmination of demon infestation was pointed out by Jesus in Matthew chapter 23, verse number 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourself, neither suffer you them that aren't in the grin. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer, therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and one is made, you're making twofold more the child of hell than you yourself. Who can we blame now the condition in this country? It has to be blamed and laid on the shoulders of the American people. It has to be laid on the shoulders of the preachers and the Christians. Most of us were not active at that time. But in the late 1950s, when the ACLU began to stick his head up like a little small little snake, and they simply said, we're going to take prayer out of school. You know, no pastor then simply said, this is a disaster. They simply said, oh, well, you know, I'm busy with my stuff. And so the church, the American people said, well, it's unconstitutional to pray in public schools, so we just got to live with that. A few months ago, we came out of prayer meeting here one night. And Sister Carol was riding home with us. We had dropped her off. And this has never happened to us before. It probably never happened again. We were down here in the parking lot, and they were just talking. I was to open the car, and suddenly I began to see that Carol was dancing a little bit on the asphalt. I said, you know, what's going on? I mean, why are we dancing? And there was a snake, a little tiny one, maybe 10 inches, you know, and he was trying to wrap himself around her legs. My wife did not like snakes, you know, and as she saw that, she was starting to dance, you know, and then the two ladies were standing there dancing. And the snake was just dancing between them, you know, finally disappeared. But you know what, I think now that was symbolic. Because, you know, this is a parking lot. I mean, we got nothing here. I've never seen snakes here before. But it was indication of demons infiltrating, coming in, trying to creep up and do things. And we need to take dominion. After that, they got prayer out of school. Then they got the Bible out of the public schools. And as we go back now, look back in time, you can see that every Christian, every biblical principle has been challenged. If someone would have told you in 1955 that the marriage license in the United States, particularly right now in California, would strike out a marriage between a groom and a bride and put in person A and person B, you would have said, no way! Not in America. We're a Christian nation. Will you go and take out a marriage license today? And it says there that you put your name down, the husband, person A, wife, person B, and now person A and person B are now a legal unit. How did that happen? It was a gradual infiltration of demonic power. We did not see it. We didn't think it was important. We didn't take a stand against it. And thus now, if we speak out, we are now politically incorrect. There is hate speeches, and we might be arrested. This is how the devil works, and the demons. They're never going to come in front of you and say, okay, today you're going to sin. Line up here. I'm going to have you commit fornication today. Today you're going to do this and that. They never come up like this. They come up behind you, and they simply try to get a little finger into you. And then there was something that says, well, you know, you don't really have time to read the Bible. You're too tired. God will understand, you know, you work hard. And when you come home, you don't want to read the Bible. You don't want to lay out. You want to relax. You don't want to pray. You know, you're tired. You need entertainment. You need something else to do. You need to have something fun to do, you know. And so, we don't pray that much. We don't read the Word that much. And then, you know, we says, well, you know, this happened and so on. And suddenly, the dame has slipped a little thing in and says, well, have you seen that over here? That looks interesting. And before you know it, from being a hot Christian, your temperature goes to lukewarm, and then cold, and then frozen. And you don't know you're frozen. How do I get here? I don't know, but I got there. I'll let you read John 8:39 yourself. Let me go now to the next point. Jesus did not escape the devil. Turn now to the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. You would think that Jesus, God was as well, he's my son, devil is not even going to talk to him. It doesn't work that way. In Luke 4:1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit to the wilderness. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said to him, if you be the Son of God, command this stone that he be made bread. How many of us are motivated by comfort? Comfort. I want to feel good. I want to eat good. I want to live good. I want comfort. I want entertainment. I want all to feel good. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, Jesus answered him by using Scripture. So what did the devil do? He did the same thing. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered to me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If you therefore will worship me, all shall be yours. Jesus, just bow one time. That's all you need. Just say, Hail Satan, one time on your knees, and I will hand you the world. Jesus answered and said to him, get you behind me, Satan, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, him only shall you serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it is said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. The devil was going to come back. Jesus was never free from the harassment of the devil. Judas was possessed by Satan and followed Jesus wherever he went. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse number 64. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, that who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said unto you, that no man can come unto me except he were given unto him my Father. For that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the word of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Let me reveal a secret to you right now. I don't care if you are 15 years old, 8 years old, or 85 years old, whatever age you are. You are going to be contested every day by demons. Every day you will be contested. And the ones that is going to contest you is going to be someone close to you. Someone you love, someone you care for. That's the one the demons will use to agitate you, to get you offended, and to do you in. Young people, let me say this to you that are here today, you that are listening to me by audio. God has a plan for you. He has a plan for a beautiful marriage for you. Beautiful life, excitement, good things. Satan has his plan for you. He wants to put you 6 feet underground as soon as possible. He runs an express line. And unless we recognize that we need to resist, we will succumb. Jesus never had freedom from demonic pressure. What about the apostolic church? Book of Acts, chapter 5. I want to go back and repeat what I said in the beginning. Do you understand what I said to you is this? That every program, every project, every move of God on this earth has been destroyed by the devil. Not one has been successful to the end, except Jesus dying on the cross, being resurrected. The apostolic church was destroyed. You understand that? The powerful church in Corinth, Ephesus, Colossae, all these cities, Jerusalem, Antioch, they are gone, destroyed. Because the people did not understand spiritual warfare. Book of Acts, chapter 5. And I'll read this on my outline. It didn't take long before the devil showed up at a newborn and powerful Holy Ghost church in Jerusalem. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira's wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price his wife was being privy to, then brought a certain part and laid at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not in your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own power? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied at the man but to God. And Ananias, hearing his words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard the thing. And the young man arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. It's about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered to her, tell me, what you sold the land for so much? And she said, yea, for so much. And Peter said to her, how is it you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried your husband are at the door, and shall carry you out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by the husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. The apostolic church was not spared. Let's just go back in time for a few moments to think about this. You take the full gospel businessmen, got started in the 1950s. They rose up that were used by God. People were saved, healed, delivered. A mighty move of God. Movement destroyed, shattered. Nothing left but ruins. You take someone like Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts from the beginning was genuine. He was a man of God. He was touched. He started out humbly. But what happened? Money, fame, greed. And today Oral Roberts' ministry is held in contempt. It lost its power. You can go and look upon the Gideons. Started out tremendous move of God. Today the Gideons are beginning to falter because they went away from the King James Version. And they're now placing NIVs. They're placing all kind of different Bibles. They simply, when we get the Bibles out, when they get, you might as well put toilet rolls in the motel rooms. If it is not the Word of God. Jimmy Swaggart, one of our favorites, my wife's favorites. I love his music. I love his preaching. And he was genuine. There's no doubt in my mind that Jimmy Swaggart was a man of God. But he got taken down. Jim Baker. I can give you a list. We can go through everything that you and I have seen the last 20 years. Every man, woman of God has been taken down either by sexual misconduct, financial misconduct, or by greed, power, infighting. Nothing is standing. Look at our universities. Yale, Harvard, Princeton, all the universities were started by preachers in revival. They were revival schools. Do you hear the Word of God in those places today? You got to look for it. Oral Roberts University, down. The university Pat Robinson started, destroyed, Catholic. Nothing. Bob Jones University. Bob Jones was a man of God. He was a fanatic on the Word of God. He was a fundamentalist. His son kept it. His grandson has made Bob Jones University into shambles. Lost. Here's what God showed me. He said, John, your ministry is not the only one. He said, every ministry, every man, every woman, every boy and girl on this earth is being challenged by demons, and most are going down in defeat because they do not know what to do. Satan's legal rights. Turn me to the book of Job. I don't like this. I simply said to God, I don't care for this program. But you know what? We got no choice. He's God, we are not. There are two places in the Bible where we are told of Satan's legal right to challenge and test a man. And let's look in Job chapter 1, if you pick it up in verse number 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. I'm not going to be able to do justice in this sermon today to tell you exactly how this works. But let me just give you an understanding. There is a courtroom in the universe. We're not talking about the throne room of God now. We're talking about the courtroom. And it is this courtroom that Jesus is a judge. He's there. And this is where they have sessions all the time. This is where Satan goes to put in his legal requests. Now, you might argue with me. You might say, well, I don't believe that. That's fine. But I tell you what, your name is taken there on a daily basis. And the Lord said to Satan, whence come you, or where are you coming from? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down in it. That's what he does, scanning all the time. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Have you not made a hedge about him, and about his house, about all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, except the increase of the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. Notice now that God has put hedges around us. We have a hedge. That hedge does not need to be broken if we are walking with the Lord. If we walk in a daily cleansing, if we walk in daily forgiveness, and when we make a mistake, we repent right away, it doesn't have to be broken. Why did Satan have Job? Because Job was doing the work of God. Job was righteous. And Satan's desire is to take every man, woman, boy, and girl that walks with God and destroy our testimony. That is his game. That is his aim. Once he got you destroyed, he's just going to drop you on the side and leave you there, and you're just going to sit there and say, what happened? My life is in shambles. I'm gone. And Satan's about, you are on the garbage, you're just garbage on the garbage heap. What did God say? I want you to see that now. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only upon himself put not forth your hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. I can look over you here today that are here, and I remember times when you were discouraged. I remember times when I got a phone call where you simply said, I'm so fed up, I'm so angry, I can't work anymore, I'm just going to go home, shut the phone up, I'm going to lay in bed, I don't want to see a person, I am down. I remember all of us have had those moments. And that is when you simply, your name came up in the courthouse, and the devil simply said to God, look at this guy down here, look at this woman. I need to get after them because I can break them. Hear me now. God will grant that. He has to, because he has legally bound himself to that. But you see, God put a limit on him. You can touch everything he has, but not him. You read the rest of the chapter. His children were killed. All his animals were killed. His houses destroyed. His economy destroyed. He had nothing. Just him and his wife. And look now in verse number 20. Then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job did not understand at this point. This was not written at that time. This was written afterwards, when God told him what happened. Job said, I don't understand. I've been preaching. I've been living a righteous life. My children are dead. I lost all my business. Everything is gone. Well, naked I came, and naked I shall return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You would think the devil would not give up. But you see, the devil has patience. He can wait for 30 years. I have seen in the spirit world of demons sitting like a cat that is watching a hole where you got some animals in the ground. And you know that cat can sit there for 4, 5, 6 hours. Not moving, just looking like this. And eventually that little mouse or gopher would stick his little head up, and that cat go, and get him up. And after waiting all day long, he simply got his dinner. And I've seen demons sitting like that, just waiting, watching. For you to make one mistake. And when you make that mistake, they will pounce. And there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Back to the courthouse now. And the Lord said to Satan, from whence come you? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil or hates evil, and still he holds fast his integrity, although you moved me against him to destroy him without cause? Underline that if you haven't seen that. God is saying here, I had him destroyed without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all the man has but to give for his life. But put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh. He will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand. But save his life. You can't kill him. Have you been there? Praise God, I don't think we've been quite that far yet. But you know, God has to give permission. He does put limits on it. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore board from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Do you think he was uncomfortable? Yeah. And he took him a potsherd to scrape his head with all, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die, man. But he said to her, you speak as one of foolish women speaks. What? Shall we receive good? The hand of God shall not receive evil. In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Now, Satan has legal rights. Turn to Luke chapter 22. The Gospel of Luke chapter 22. Now, I told you I went away very angry, and I came back a very happy person. Luke chapter 22, verse number 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you, that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. What am I trying to share with you today is this. First of all, you have got saved. You're a Christian. Secondly, we come together as a church. But you know, we really haven't understood what this church is all about. Most of you came because you had a need. Some of you came because of other reasons. But most of you came because you have a need. God met that need. But you see, before the foundation of the world, God knew that in the end times, there's going to be an internet. There was going to be webcasting, YouTubes. We were going to have a communication that was not dreamt about before by men. God selected this little church. And it took us a year to pray in the funds. And now, here are the cameras sitting in a rooftop. Equipment back there, the crew is being trained. And I would say maybe in one or two more weeks, this service here, music, testimony time, preaching, invitation, will be broadcast into the entire world, into every continent that can pick it up. I believe the Holy Spirit is going to quicken people in all the different continents to turn on their computers. We're going to advertise it. And there's going to be people who's going to be saved. Families are going to be put together. There's going to be healings, all kind of things. Now, do you think that this has gone unnoticed in a demonic world? Do you think that they are simply out there saying, oh, hey, we just passed by here. That's a camera up there. I wonder what that's for. Well, let me call my supervisor. Hey, Mr. Supervisor on Lucifer, can you tell me what are they going to do over there? No. The demons knew it. They fought us every inch of the way. Every inch of the way. He put us together to be a cohesive group of praying, sacrificing, ministering Christians that God can use, because you and I cannot go to Africa, we cannot go to Greenland, we cannot go to these places. But with our church, we can reach out everywhere in the world as missionaries. We can put on seminars here, we can put on all kinds of different things and broadcast this as God is moving us. And the devil said, it ain't going to happen. He challenged us. What's the first weapon of choice of Satan? Is to divide and conquer. So he's sending a bunch of demons here saying, you know, have you noticed this, that so-and-so is looking cross-eyed at you? Really? I didn't know that. Now, when you mentioned, yeah, they all looking at me cross-eyed, you know, for crying out loud. What a Christian. And the demon says, good. Now, let's get offended here now. That person's no good. And before we know it, we have little rumblings in the church, you know. We got a click. Well, we over here in this corner, we like these people here. We don't care for them. We don't want to talk to them. You know, they're not like us. Well, who's like us? So you have all these different little things, you know, just a little rippling going on, a little gossip going on. You know, I really shouldn't tell you this, but you know, just you can pray about this, you know. Do you know what they are doing over there? We need to squash that. We need to come to the place. And when somebody has something like that to say, is to say, hold it. Let's go to the person. Let's talk face to face. Let's pray this out. That's how we destroy the work of the devil. You and I were raised up here to reach millions of people. you and I might not have understood that. You know, we're living in our own little world. You know, we're working in this yard here and working over there. But we have been put together from different places, different personnel, different nationalities, different languages for one purpose. To speak the word of God. You realize here that in this congregation, we can put on a program in Russian and send it out. We can put on a program in Greek and send it out. We can put a program in Spanish and send it out. We can do it in Swedish. We got all kind of different languages here. We can also do it in English. Look at the bottom box now. There was a war in heaven between God and Satan. Satan lost and is now disputing his sentence to the lake of fire by accusing God in the heavenly court system of being unrighteous. This is where man comes into play as God shows his righteousness. Therefore, every born-again believer will be challenged by Satan and his demons in order to discredit God. Here's a message I got from God when I left after a vacation. Cheer up. You're still going to have the same. But if you use your spiritual weapons, you can overcome. That's the key. Cheer up. Now, let me tell you what I was met with, and I just want to make it very brief. I realized this. My brother said, you're going to be preaching 3 hours. I said, no, 5 hours, please, so I have my match. But let me just say this to you. When we come back, the first thing that met me was this. I said, did we pay rent? And the answer was, no. Rent was not paid. Now, I am old enough to get Social Security. We eat and stuff like that. So guess what happened? I came home and I said to my brother, I said, where is my check? He said, I haven't seen the check. Someone stole the check. I got all kind of bad news. We come back. And the devil simply says, see, this is what happens when you go and take time off. Now, things are going to fall apart. I was discouraged. But I said, I'm going to go to prayer meeting this week. I need prayer. In the prayer meeting this week, I got reprimanded. Where's your faith, Pastor? Well, it's down in the shoe someplace. So, you know, I was going to go in. I was having a pity party and saying, okay, God, you know, I thought we got this cleared up on a vacation. Here we are back in the same program again. And so I got reprimanded at the prayer meeting. I recognized I was whining and I needed to start praising God. And I simply made the decision. I was in prayer most of the night when I came back home. And I simply said this, God, here's where we are. You're my God. I'm your servant. I cannot change anything. I'm totally helpless, powerless. I got nothing. I'm going to hang it on you and simply saying, in the name of Jesus, we are going to be victorious. And by the end of the week, everything had turned around. Completely. Now, there will be a challenge on each one of us. On my last page, I have reference to the war in heaven. I'll let you read it yourself. It's from Revelation 12, 7 through 10. I have on the court system in heaven from 1 Kings chapter 22, 19 to 23. Daniel 4, 13 through 17. Job 1, 6 through 7. And Job 2, 1 through 2, which we dealt with today. And we have the sentence of Satan, which is found in Matthew 25, 41, and Revelation 20, 10. But I'd like to close today in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And we want to read the last few verses there. And this is the message to us. Verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and I set down my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Summing this up, you come in here, you went through deliverance, God has given you victory in your life, many different victories, you're beginning to enjoy life, things are moving fairly decent. But there's still some resistance. Here's what God wants. He wants us to be united in love. Remember this. Some will be 30%, some 60, some 100. We are different people. We got to love one another. If someone is weak, instead of taking that person and kicking him and finishing him off, lift him up and encourage him. We need that. Expect the fight. Expect the battle. Do you remember about 3 months ago or 2 months ago, whatever time it was, when I came in here, when the gasoline was about $4.50 a gallon, oil was up to $1.146 a barrel, and God spoke to me and said, begin to take dominion. And I come in and I says, well, I feel like an idiot. What can we do? Handful, 30, 35 people. But you know what we did? We prayed, didn't we? What happened Monday? It went down. What happened since that time? Down, 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 down. I believe this, if we had not prayed, we still would be $1.146 a barrel. So now we're praying against the crooks on Wall Street. We're praying against the homosexual agenda. We're doing a lot of things. But we need to pull together. Stop the gossiping. Stop the murmuring. Stop dividing. And simply say in the name of Jesus, I don't want to hear that garbage. And let's begin to pray for one another. Move with one another. And recognize that each one of us, we have something to do in this kingdom. You know, just right now, I saw the face of a brother Costa Rican. Forgot your first name. Vasily. And you know, there's a whole bunch of people in the Moluccan churches. You know, here's a pulpit. Here's a microphone. They can be program made to reach Moluccans around the world with a message. You need to be born again. With a truth. You know, when we record here, we also make DVDs. These DVDs can be handed out. We have here an opportunity that is unlimited what God can use us for. If we understand what we have, if we pull together, pray together, love one another, and minister and take dominion. Next week, I'm going to teach you how God wants us to fight. Let's stand for prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, Lord, there's nothing hidden in your kingdom. And Father God, you know that I was angry last week, and I shared it with people, Father God, and I was disgusted. But I thank you, Lord, that just like you lifted up Elijah, he was moaning and groaning, there's no one left in the land but me, and you say, yeah, I got 7,000 men that have bowed their knees to Baal yet. And Father God, we have more than 7,000 people left in this nation. And I thank you, Father God, for restoring my faith this week and to raise me up and to show me that you have not abandoned me, that I'm still in your will. And I pray right now for every man, woman, boy, and girl in this service. I pray for everyone listening to my audio right now. That, Father God, we will take heed, sit down, think, and recognize this is where we are, this is what we are facing, and this is what we have to do. And I pray, Father God, give people the hope, give them faith to understand we don't have to be defeated. We can be victorious in all circumstances if we only know how to fight in the spirit world. And I thank you, our Lord, for meeting your people. Heal those that need a healing today. Touch those that need a special touch. And I thank and I praise you now for everything. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. The altars are open. If you have a need, the elders are here, ready to pray and minister to your needs.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past. And there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says, "Today is the day of salvation." Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. So act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the first part in the series Satan's Infiltration of Christian Churches and was entitled Satan's Legal Right. Just back from a two-week sabbatical, Pastor John shared how Christians sent in $28,000 for the webcast upgrade, but the ministry was struggling just to pay rent. God responded to his prayer during the second week and showed him a devastating picture. Every move of God on earth, with one exception, has been infiltrated by the devil. The only move which the devil could not defeat was the mission of Jesus to be born, live, minister, die for our sins, and be resurrected on the third day. Pastor John laid the foundation for understanding the destructive work of Satan and why God allows him to do it. This is one message to which you can't be indifferent. You are either victorious or slowly being defeated without knowing it. This message is available on CD and cassette. And when ordering, ask for sermon number 1154. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number is 1-888-708-3232. That's 1-888-708-3232. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, May God richly bless you as you read the Bible and walk with Him.